At Can't Stop Endurance, we work with runners from beginner to advanced. From rookies to marathon champions, we provide personalized coaching to help endurance athletes reach their personal goals. Whether it's a 5K or 100-mile ultra, we have been there as coaches and athletes. I'm Coach Holly, and now here's Coach Kevin Leathers.
Good day, Coach Holly.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day. We're just down here sweating in Texas. I think it's just going to be sweating until November, and that's okay. I don't mind it, but we're just in the throes of summer.
You do. You like the heat. You like the sun glaring on you.
Oh, and I want to be borderline melting on the pavement. Not really, but I'm also super dialed into my hydration. You know, that becomes a blind spot sometimes, so I really feel good where I'm at there. So that's helping. How are things with your summer situation?
Well, it's hot here in Memphis. You know, I got back on a plan with you a little bit ago, trying to get back in shape after, well, still dealing with some long COVID stuff. And I had a little bit of a hiccup this week with some migraine issues that have popped up. So I'm taking a little bit of a break, trying to get that figured out. But I feel hopeful that I have some answers. But the big thing for me is, you know, I had a week between track and cross country, and now I'm in the throes of cross country season. And I've got about 24 kids out there, and it's exciting.
Yeah, I love that summer training, right? That's where you're doing the grunt work. There's nothing glorious about it. It's just day after day, get out there and do the work. And all that summer work is for the fall glory, whether you're a high school cross-country runner or an age grouper trying to get ready for that fall racing season. What we're doing now is we're kind of in that mode of it's just hot, it's sweaty, get out there and do it. Nothing about it's going to be fun. The numbers aren't going to be very pretty when you log your workout, but it will pay off in the fall.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this year's a little bit different for me because I graduated a pretty core group of seniors last year, about seven of them that I've been with for, I mean, since they were little, like sixth or seventh grade. And I've got 10 freshmen this year. So my June last year, because we weren't coming off track season, I could jump in with a lot of hard stuff in the beginning because I didn't have to build in any recovery time because they were not coming off a hard track season. But now I've got kids coming off a hard track season and 10 new freshmen. So June this year is a lot of base building. It's all easy runs. So it's just interesting, even within, you know, a cross country season where I feel like I can do some of the same stuff every year. I've kind of figured out what works, that I had to make some adjustments this year for these new kids. And again, coming off a hard track season, a true hard track season that they didn't have last year. So it's just been some nice, easy runs, just getting out there and working on those and building the base and core and hip strength and all that stuff. And it's been lovely. And a lot of team building, since I do have 10 new kids and graduated a core group of seniors. We've done a lot of fun things like handball and tag and shooting Nerf guns at them and all kind of fun stuff. So,
making it fun, especially with those freshmen.
Yes.
Because they've got to enjoy it and have fun to keep them coming back before you really start to crush their spirit in some of those workouts.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, though, that is important for me for our program is, and then, you know, I've said this a million times on here, how running is such an individual sport, but it's a team, of how to meld those freshmen in with all these older kids so that we are supporting each other and building each other up and pushing each other. So that's been a lot of fun to see. There's new kids out there with this, all these other kids that I've had for so long. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this season goes.
And just like the adults we coach, it's finding out what buttons to push with each athlete because they're all a little bit different. And that unique thing about these freshman girl runners is they're all wired differently. So you have all those young teenager issues to deal with. So your job is not just giving them workouts. There's so much more involved, team building and nurturing and finding how to push them and how much you can push this one, but you can't push that one too much. And that's a big part of the challenge, isn't it?
Oh yeah. And I love it. I love getting to know these kids. So yeah. What about you? How's your summer going besides sweating in Texas.
Just sweating in Texas, getting in some good speed work, getting ready for, to try to get ready for these 5Ks coming up and start doing a little more intentional speed work and structured speed work. And that's feeling good. And again, trying to.
Okay. When is your next 5K?
A couple of weeks. I've got one every month throughout the summer just to keep working on that and fine tune the rest recovery and all those things. And it's, you know, the battle of the aging endurance athlete. Getting the most out of what I've got without getting hurt or getting sick. And that's the real challenge now at my age is how much do I need to do to get the result I want without doing too much? And it's just magnified the older you get. But anyway, it's all good. Everything's great. We are getting all of our runners ready for fall races, just like your cross country team. And summer racing is here, thank goodness. I never thought we'd be so thankful to see races on hot summer days, but after a year and a half without them, it's good, which is spurring a lot of questions. So how about we go do some Q&A, Holly?
Good old-fashioned Q&A. I got all kinds of fun questions this week.
I love it.
All right, so first up, should I race? Races are back. Should I race? Yes, do it. Go now.
Yes, don't hesitate. Go right now and pay an entry fee and get out there and race. If you're waiting until you're ready, you're never going to be ready. And if you're waiting until I'm in racing shape, you're going to have a hard time because all of your running friends, they're out there racing. And you need to get back in the physical and mental space required for good racing. And now people say, oh, I'm just out for fun. That's great. Whether you're trying to win this race or run your first 5K, to do your best, you want to get out and practice it. Get those first few traumatic moments out of the way in these smaller races now before you get to your big goal races in the fall so that you start to work on your inner pace clock and your game face, and just getting reacquainted with what racing feels like.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, I know here in Memphis, you know, a lot of our local races and race directors and organizers and, causes, they need our help. You know, there's a lot of money lost the past year or so in terms of just financial support for directors and organizers and groups. So, yeah, get out there and support because it's all, for the most part, local people who we have the support.
We lose sight of that because we think they're always going to be there. But their business stopped cold during COVID.
Yep.
So maybe this is a time to go enter that race you don't normally enter or those races you usually skip. Go out, pay an entry fee, and let's support these local race directors and local race organizers and charities. Well, and another question I get, Holly, is, okay, I've signed up for this. This is my first 5K in over a year. How should I approach this first 5K back at it?
Well, it's going to be hard, right?
Absolutely.
The old ration series, you're going to have to remember about what do I eat the night before? What time do I need to get there? How do I warm up? And just expect it to be hard. Be realistic about that and put on the racing shoes, toe the line, and run it. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be uncomfortable because we all know that 5Ks are supposed to do that, right? They're uncomfortable. And just be smart. We always tell people to be smart when they race. So the first mile, we're going to be excited. Everybody's going to be pumped up, right?
Yes.
We're going to hear music, maybe a national anthem, all the things. But just be smart the first mile. Just remember what it means to race smart. Be smart the first mile. Be positive. Pick it up a little bit the second mile. And then burning out the third if you can. And take that number and then build on it from there.
Exactly. And I think I've told several runners this week, all I'm worried about is you having a good, positive performance. I don't care what your finish time is or what place you come in. So give yourself the best shot at a good performance. And that means you went out, you ran smart, you were very patient in the first mile. Maybe you ran that first mile even a little easier than you thought you should and finished strong. All that other stuff takes care of itself. The finish, your pace, your finish time, all that is a byproduct of a well-executed race plan. And let's don't And then let's don't judge the outcome too harshly on these first few races.
My biggest advice to people who are starting to get back into races is just don't blow it out the first mile.
Oh, don't do it. Please. Please, ever, but especially now.
5Ks are hard enough. Give yourself the best shot by, let's have that first mile be good, and then see where you go from there. And then we'll build on it.
Absolutely.
Another question I'm getting, I actually just had this conversation about a couple hours ago, is now that we're starting to see fall marathons and half marathons, like, you know, our big Memphis St. Jude race is now in person, but also virtual. Had a conversation with a runner today, should I sign up for the marathon or the half marathon at St. Jude? And we had her calendar in front of me because she hasn't been running. So I see the last 3 months and I said, look at your last 3 months. What do you think? She said, half marathon. I said,
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy when you really look at the big picture, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why it's important to keep a log, right? That's why it's important to know what you're doing. Because when we looked at her, her average have been, it's been 10 to 15 miles a week. She's capped off at a 6 mile run. And so that is a perfect base for a half marathon. It's not a good base for a full. So she's going to sign up for the half. I'm going to write her a plan and we're going to get her there.
Yeah. And again, now more than ever, resist FOMO.
Oh yeah.
All the races are coming back. Oh, my friends are doing the marathon or the half marathon. Okay. Hang on. Let's be very smart. Let's look exactly like Coach Holly just said. Let's look at where you are today here mid-summer. What makes the most sense? It's maybe it's not the marathon because you didn't really keep your long run up where it needed to be. Maybe it's not even the half marathon because you've just been inconsistent. There's no shame in dropping back to a 10K or even a 5K. Let's focus on getting back in the game, get your racing face back on, get your inner pace clock.
Yep.
Rebuild, and let's start with that 10K, and then let's make that build to that will be your springboard to the later fall races and then into the spring of next year, and you'll be ready to go. So choose the right race and then make the most of what you've got starting today until race day.
Yeah, if her calendar had been blank the last 2 months, would have said, let's go for a 5K or a 10K, and then we'll go from there for sure. So, yeah.
Holly, this next one is not so much a question, but a statement I got from a runner, and it brought up a really good conversation. He said, boy, I had a great week. My back was a little bit achy, and that's his chronic thing. That's his weak link. I was able to do everything on my schedule and do it successfully, and I'm doing all of my prehab and my rehab to keep my back under control. And I think he was looking for... maybe he thought he was in trouble or because his back was aching. And I was like, man, that is a great job. You were consistent with your running. You hit all your targets. You did all your prehab and rehab physical therapy to keep your back issues and your aches as a background issue. That is a win. Your back issue is probably never going to be 100% gone, but we want to keep it at a low simmering level in the background that it doesn't hurt anything. So we've talked about this. I know Dr. Sarah Michaels talked about this. I think we become hyper aware of those injuries and our weak links. And I think that's a good thing in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like a tightrope with these injuries and it, being super aware of how carefully you have to cross that tightrope is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know what my problem areas are, and I take care of them on a weekly basis. And some weeks, my hips or hamstrings act up, and I might need to pay a little bit more attention to them, but I'm still able to do everything and able to manage it. And that's a win. You're right. That's a win, you know. It's a win being aware of that stuff, and it's a win that, you know, we still get the work done, and we just keep working on that balance between strength and our running, using all the physical therapy as prehab and rehab so that we can keep building on our running goals, right?
Yep. And I think that conversation helped change his perspective on the situation. Oh, wait, I'm not injured.
Yep.
I've got this weak link that I'm doing everything I can do to keep under control, and that's a good thing. Maximum awareness, reasonable amount of caution, and then that purposeful progress. And he's like, oh, okay, high five. Oh, let's keep going. So,
and that's a sign of a smart runner, just the awareness. But also, too, I think we have to be so aware of our bodies, of what's a good pain and what's a not good pain. And that's a conversation I'm having with my freshmen right now as they're building their base in terms of what is a good level of soreness and what is not, what is alarming. And so I'm having them every day check in. And my question to them is always, what's weird today? What feels weird? We talk about it. It's normal. That's not normal. And we go from there. All right. So another question I got this week from one of my adult runners is, she's been running about 3 days a week. And she said, I want to add another day to my running. She says, it's the summer. I feel like I have a little bit more time and I need more volume. Is that okay?
I love that question. That's a great question to get from a runner. And I've got a couple of questions.
Okay.
I'm going to say, are you staying consistent with your current workload and your workouts?
Yep.
How are your legs feeling with that current workload?
Mm-hmm.
Any lingering soreness at this current workout volume? Hips, knees, feet are all okay?
Yep.
And if all those answers are green lights, then okay, if you're absorbing all the current schedule with no problems, then yes, let's add that extra short, easy run and see how your body reacts to that new load.
Yeah. Usually that's my answer. You know, yes, let's check all the boxes. And then usually it is adding in a little day, usually a Sunday. So that person was not running on Sundays. And so I said, you know what? Let's try an easy recovery run now on Sundays after your Saturday long run. And let's see how your body reacts to that. And so she's excited. We're going to give that a go and see how her body absorbs that. And I think it's going to be perfectly fine because she has been consistent, right?
So let's talk to the dumb runner. We ask those questions. Are you consistent with your workouts? How are your legs feeling? Oh, they feel like, you know, broken glass. Any lingering soreness at this current volume level? Yeah, my foot's hurt. My IT band's flared up.
No.
No, you're not able to absorb what you're doing now. What makes you think adding on is going to do you any good? And that's why we see people getting hurt over and over in half marathon and marathon seasons, because they keep adding on to a body that's not able to handle the current workload, much less adding to it.
Yep.
I had a good conversation this week. A runner asked me, how does my cross training contribute to my running fitness? And in particular, he also rides his bike like we do and loves cycling. And I've always thought of, we always talk about cross training being, it's free aerobic fitness. It's injury prevention. It builds durability. And he wanted me to try to quantify that ratio from his cycling to his running. And I've always looked at my cycling, it's kind of a 2-to-1 value ratio, meaning a 2-hour bike ride to me equals about an hour of running from a workload standpoint. If you can cruise through an hour of running, you can cruise through 2 hours of biking. Neither one's monumental. So if we're using that formula, 2 hours of cycling in your week equals an extra hour of running. And let's say that extra hour of running equals 6 miles for the average runner. That's extra 6 miles per week of running volume with zero pounding on your joints and your
body. That's fantastic. Yeah.
So now take that over the course of a month, and that's an extra 4 hours or 24 miles of running equivalent aerobic conditioning. And for many runners, that's an extra week running aerobic equivalent volume per month.
And for people like me and you who are in our 40s and 50s, to get that extra aerobic conditioning without pounding on our ankles and our hips and our knees, man, put it in the bank. Do it.
That's why we plead with our runners, do something else in addition to your running, because it's just that simple example. 2 hours a week on your bike can add up to an extra week of equivalent running volume per month. That's huge.
That's absolutely huge. And I feel like it just makes you a well-rounded runner. It works on muscles and tendons and things that you can't necessarily work on as a runner. And I can't speak enough to adding, especially, you know, any type of cross training, but especially cycling to your routine.
Okay, Coach Holly, next question. I want to start running, but every time I try to run, I get injured. What am I doing wrong?
I mean, there's a lot of questions in that, right?
Yes.
That's one big question, right? What am I doing wrong? But I have all the questions. How much are you running? What type of running are you doing? How fast are you going? Are you following a plan? So those are usually my questions. And usually the answer is, I'm not following a plan. I just get out and run 3 miles as fast as I can. I run with my friends who are training for a marathon. It's all the things, right?
Yep.
So usually it is, I mean, if you think about our Dumb Runner podcast, it's a lot of that stuff. It's just, I think it's Coach Google. But this specific person that was asking me this question, I actually did get a question like this a couple of weeks ago. And the person, it was a girl who was in her 30s, just kind of remembers as a soccer player how she would run. She just got out and would just pound the pavement with no thought to how long, how far, how fast. She just thought, I should go as fast as I can for this amount of time. And I think a lot of people think of running as being simple, like we should just do that. But there's a science behind it. So I don't know. There's a lot of answers to what am I doing wrong.
But it's probably too much, too soon, and all of those basics.
So we set up a time for us to talk, and I'm going to help her kind of see the light in terms of what she should be doing.
And don't you find that when you write a couch to 5K program or a return to running plan for a runner, especially somebody who had run before in the past, they are shocked by how little running and how long the re-entry process takes.
Yes.
It's weeks and months of walking and running and 2 miles here, and we're going to build to 3 miles. But that's the way to do it to avoid injury. And if you don't want to do it that way, if you're impatient, okay, I've seen that movie. I know exactly how it ends every time.
You're going to get injured every time. I mean, just look at the question. I want to start running, but every time I get injured. Well, okay.
Yeah, easy math.
Here's a question for you, Kevin. I saw an article saying that you never have to run 20 miles in marathon training.
Is that true? I saw that come across the Instagram feed a couple of weeks ago myself.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've seen every article. It used to be you'd see it in Runner's World, and now we see it on the internet. And
it depends.
It depends. Can you train for a marathon and never have to run up to 20 miles? Yes.
I mean, if you remember, we had Rachel Randall on, and she trained for a marathon and capped off at 16. But her entire week was built around marathon training and marathon pace runs and longish runs throughout the week.
And it wasn't her first marathon. She was already a successful Boston qualifying marathoner.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there are all types of things out on the internet, shortcuts or theories that work in for certain runners. A marathon on 3 days a week or whatever that is, great. That's not what we believe in. We believe in the tried and true laws of endurance training. That's base building, strength building, hill repeats, anaerobic fitness, cyclical training, periodization, peaking, all of those things. And if within that structure, yes, every runner I've ever trained and every runner you've ever trained, Holly, their training is a little bit different. We know what we want the marathon build to look like. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, it's going to involve getting up near 20 miles more than once.
100%, yes. Mm-hmm.
But there are also runners who physically can't do that, and you're going to sneak up on that distance and get them there just in time, and that works. But for the most part, you've got to do the work. You've got to obey the basic principles of smart running. And I would say if you're putting all your eggs in some newfangled crazy training program you saw on the internet, you're taking a risk, and it might work, but there's a good chance it won't, and then you've wasted all that training.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it is, number one, it's obviously physical, right? We need to train your body to run a marathon.
Yeah.
But it's mental as well, you know? I have a lot of runners who want to run 22 miles in the program because they want that, you know, to know that they mentally can do this. So to me, it's physical, obviously, but it's mental as well.
Yeah.
So unless you are an experienced marathon runner, and unless you have a specific plan, like with Rachel Randall, then yes, you need to run 20 miles in a marathon training program.
One area, well, I will agree with that, is for the runner who is in a just finish mentality, and they're going to be doing their race at 13 or 14 minute per mile pace.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then a 20 miler is just you're outside training for too long of a duration. So we're going to cap it at a 3 or a 4 hour training run.
Yeah.
Don't really care what the distance is. So that's, but again, that's a different outlier on, you know, there's each ends of the extreme. So yeah, we try to stick to what we know works after all of these years, our own training, our own marathons, and all the people we've trained to their first marathon, to PRs, to Boston, to marathon champions. We've got this formula. We believe in it. And then we make it work for each runner and each individual.
Absolutely. All right. So another question I got this week, I met with a new runner, and she is normally a CrossFitter. And so she asked me, what is the best running shoe? Because she knows kind of what a good CrossFit shoe is. So she asked me, what's the best running shoe? You know what I told her? There isn't one.
There isn't one.
Oh, go to your local running store, go to your Fleet Feet or whatever your local running store is, and try on all the shoes. That's literally what I told her. I said, try on all the shoes. And she was a little gun shy about that, actually. She said, you know, I've done that. I did that like 4 years ago, and I came home with a pair of shoes, and I really didn't like them. And I said, why didn't you take them back? Because most local running stores want you to run, and they want you to be a repeat customer, and they want you to come back. I know that my local running store here in Memphis, they will let me try on all the shoes that I want to. They'll let me run around in them. And then once I pick one, I've got 90 days to return them if I don't like them. And most running stores are like that because they want you to be happy, and they want you to be a runner. I know what works for me. I know what the best running shoe is for my body. You know what the best running shoe is for your body, but I don't know what it is for you. So go figure it out.
Yeah, the best running shoe for you is, that's all it is. And if you have somebody giving you advice at your local run saying, oh, this is the best shoe, you need to be running in this, well, you need to not listen to that person because mm-hmm. that just doesn't work.
Well, because I could go around to and tell everybody the glories of my running shoe. I love my running shoes, but I love them for me, not
might
for
be the, might be the worst option for me, and vice yeah. versa. Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, Holly, we're here in the middle of summer, and it's hot, and we're doing every run, and we're soaking wet from sweat. And the question is, now that it's getting hotter, I am chafing everywhere between my thighs and my armpits and around my sports bra and every seam in my outfit. What's the best solution? How do I deal with chafing?
The Body Glide. Whatever Body Glide there is out there. It's funny in the summer that you get in the shower after running, you don't think that you have been chafing, and then all of a sudden, my armpit is on fire.
That's a blood-curdling scream when you find those hidden chafing parts.
Absolutely. Body Glide, or look at your sports bra. Is it too big? Is it too small? And figure it out. But yeah, Body Glide is the easiest answer, or whatever else is out there for.
Yeah, Body Glide, even if it's as simple as Vaseline, if that's what you have, put that on those parts that have friction. You know, in cycling, there's chamois butter, and there's all types of different lubricants. find something that works for you. You can usually go to your local running store and they'll have several different versions. They might even have sample sizes that you can try out.
Yeah.
But that will, that's a life changer.
Oh yeah.
When you
yeah.
learn that you don't have to live with all the chafing and yeah, all that that involves.
A funny question I got this week from a seventh grader. She is new to cross country. And she was just finished her run, just a 20-minute run, and she was red-faced and sweaty. She's like, Coach, does this get any easier?
Well, bless her heart.
Does running get easier? But I have adults who ask that, too.
I that's a very common question.
And I have experienced runners who ask that, who just, you know, on a bad day, is this going to get easier? Yes. And not every day is a hard day, right? Some days are just harder than others. But to the seventh grader who is new to running, yes, it's going to get easier. The more consistent you are and the more you stick with this. And I think, too, and this is not just for a seventh grader, but also for an adult, is once you, especially if you're new to running, learning your pace and learning what works for you. Yep. And learning that I don't need to keep up with everybody. And I think that's a hard thing for, again, a 12-year-old up to a 40, 50, 60-year-old is that FOMO, the ego, we want to be fast, we want things to, you know, so-and-so makes it look so easy. How is that possible? Well, she's consistent and she knows how to pace herself. So that really was my answer was, I'm not going to say her name, but yes, it will get easier the more consistent you are, and it will get easier if you don't try to keep up with the kid who's been running for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, we see that with our training groups. That person who's trying to keep up with the other person who's too fast for them, mm-hmm. and it's always hard. They're always struggling. They're always failing the workout. That's a really good point, Holly, that you got to know your pace and run your pace, and you're going to get stronger, and it's going to get easier. But I say that still after 40-plus years of running. Like, oh, some days, good grief. Is it always like hill repeats? Oh, every time I start hill repeats, they never really get easier. I've gotten stronger and also mentally understand what this is going to take.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to pay the price so I've gotten a little mentally stronger over the years to handle that workout. So, yes, hang in there. It gets easier.
Another question I got this week. I'm around all the kids right now, but this is a question that I've gotten from adults as well, especially during a 5K, about side stitches. What do I do about side stitches? What do you say to people, Kevin?
Well, I always start with my high school cross country coach, and I've said this before. One of my favorite quotes, and this was 42 years ago. I can remember it. Running around with my hand clutching my side, and he said, "Leathers, nobody ever died from a side stitch. Keep running." Got it. I remember it to this day. I could tell you exactly where it happened.
That doesn't help you though, right? I mean, it helps you know that you're not going to die.
Right. Yes. So I always tell people, take a couple of deep breaths, deep from the diaphragm breaths, slow down your breathing. Maybe if it's on your side, you can kind of grab it and massage it a little bit to get some different stimulus in that area, and just breathe deep and try to get it to calm down.
Breathe, maybe slow down a little bit, clench your side. And then even too, I feel like it's a little bit of, it's a cramp.
Yep.
And are you hydrated? That's usually a question I ask as well. It's how's your hydration at this point? But in the moment it is breathe, stand up a little bit taller, slow down, and it will eventually go away. It will get easier, everybody.
Right. And I get it, because a side stitch, when you've never had one, feels like somebody's sliding a knife between your ribs.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's just a little bit of a spasm in there. Just breathe, calm down, slow down, try to change the talk and run through it, because it will go away.
Yeah.
Okay, Holly, that was a great list of questions. I love doing this episode. And, you know, I also love our last episode with Kristen Fant, the endurance nutritionist. I've gotten more feedback from that podcast than just about any other episode we have done. I think she brought such a common sense attitude to nutrition and fueling. If you haven't listened to that episode, I invite you to go back and listen, because it was really informative, and I really like her Instagram feed. It's endurance Nutritionist on Instagram. Really, really good episode.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've had runners text both of us. We've had runners email us. I've had former runners from who have graduated, who are in college, who listen to our podcast, who have said, "I wish I knew this in high school.
Yep.
I wish somebody had told me this." Or I've even had former runners say, "You need to have parents listen to that as well." So I feel like it's been really good, and I am eventually going to do that. I'm going to have my team and parents listen to it so that they can just understand, especially the part about, obviously we spent quite a bit of time about what it means to be a female and a runner. But I feel like even within my friends, and even talking to Laura, your wife, my best friend, this morning about even what we eat for breakfast, Laura talked with her personally about nutrition. And I like the simplicity of, she gave her some advice about breakfast, about have three things on your plate for breakfast, literally. A little bit of yogurt, granola, and fruit, or cheese, bacon, and a little bit of eggs. Doesn't have to be a massive amount of stuff, but trying to have some variety on your plate for every meal. And that's a conversation I had with Laura, but it's also a conversation I had with my my team. So the day after we interviewed her, we had practice, and I said, this is a rhetorical question. Nobody raised their hand. I said, but who ate breakfast this morning? Just think about it. I said, if you didn't, I want you to start eating breakfast. and if you're thinking about why you don't eat breakfast, usually the excuse is because it makes me have to go to the bathroom, or it made me feel sick. Well, keep note of that. And if you ate Fruit Loops for breakfast this morning and then you felt sick, maybe let's try something else for breakfast besides Fruit Loops. So it's just spurred on in my life personally a lot of interesting conversations with my friends about trying to be better, about paying attention to our nutrition so that we can get the most out of our, not just our workouts, but our daily life.
Fueling your day, fueling your life. And I, not only did it spur a lot of conversations with my runners, but again, personally, myself, it helped me reassess my fueling.
Oh, yeah.
I have those blind spots. Like, hey, wait, how am I fueling before this run or after this run? Am I fueling properly before I go to my CrossFit class? Am I fueling before this ride? It's like, oh, now I see where some of those trap doors or probably more blind spots are. So super informative. And we really hope to get her back on the show this year.
Absolutely.
For some more Q&A and maybe some more in-depth on some of those topics, because I thought it was super informative and helpful.
Me too.
Okay, Holly, that was fun. We could do this all day, but that is all the time we have for this episode. Mm-hmm. We want to invite all of you out there to send us your questions, leave them on social media, send them to us at coach@can'tstopendurance.com. We love talking about this. We love helping you solve your endurance issues and your endurance puzzle. So reach out and let us know what you think about this episode or any questions you have for a future episode.
Yeah, and no question's a dumb question, right? No question is a dumb question. I think that's often a fear that people have is, oh, this is just dumb. I can be able to figure this out. No, let us hear it so we can answer it for everybody, because you know everybody's thinking it. So, yeah, check us out on coach@can'tstopendurance.com, and that's our website as well, can'tstopendurance.com, where there's information about our training groups, about gear that you might want to order for our YouTube page. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Yeah, do it. We love it. We love talking about this stuff. And Kevin, what do we say around here?
Run smart, train hard, and race fast.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.